Why should I be discouraged? His eyes on the sparrow. Good song. Great song. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8 today. Hosea, Joel, Amos, if that doesn't help. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, that doesn't help. There's an index in the front of your Bible. Book of Amos. We'll read some of those verses in a minute. You know, in the Bible, there are good choices and bad choices. We've seen people make those choices. I don't know if you've ever made a bad choice. Probably not. But God has worked out those things for you. I think we've all been there. How we think governs our choices. Our minds control our choices. The scripture says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so that controls our life. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we renew our minds, we go to the scripture, and God helps us with that. There's a lot of things, a lot of sayings. I'll give you a few of them that have to do with the mind. This is what I had in mind, right? I have a mind to call them up and ask them for a refund, right? We use that terminology. Speak your mind, give them a piece of your mind, you know. I have a good mind too, and fill in the blank. How about I have half a mind too? That's more like us, right? Half a mind. I think that saying is when you're not planning on doing anything about it. I have half a mind to do something about it. He has a mind of his own. He has a mind for business. I mean, that's a terminology we use. Because as he thinketh in his heart, in his mind, so is he. What we think about, we all ultimately end up doing. In the Bible, there are terms like pure minds or corrupt minds. So the whole scale is there. In James chapter 3, the Bible talks about the wisdom that's from above. It's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. But the wisdom that's from below is earthly, sensual, devilish. So here's wisdom. Here's our mind. Here's how we take truth and dissect it or use it in our life. And it's good to have the good truth, the real truth, I should say. Isaiah 7:15, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Sometimes people choose the evil, but they think they're choosing the good because they call good evil and evil good. And that text is in the Bible too, and they can't discern what the truth is. Sometimes it's unhealthy decisions, healthy decisions. And so these are choices. Proverbs 3:31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. That would be a good personal study, to look at the oppression and the oppressors in the Bible and not choose any of their ways. Sometimes we learn from a negative truth. It doesn't have to all be positive, right? Boy, this is bad. I don't ever want to do that, so I don't want to be like that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, the mind of Christ, that's his truth to us. Amen? That's his example for us. Because we can't teach him. Amen? He teaches us. He gives us that blessing of learning. Life is made up of choices, is it not? You made choices this morning. What to wear, what to eat, right? When to leave for church, whether to stay awake in church or not. For the rest of the service. That was supposed to be a joke. Come on, lighten up a little. At least show the visitor that we have a good time here. Amen? Really, he's a reporter, and he's writing all this down. But I read this, and it's a quote, but most of reality doesn't matter, but a few things, in this case choices, matter a huge amount. In other words, there is a very small number of choices that will determine the great majority of results. When something really matters and you make a choice about it, the results of that are very serious. Amen? Like, what are you having for lunch today? I mean, you can take your pick. That's no big deal. But I'm going to buy a farm this afternoon. That's a bigger deal, right? One choice is more weighty than the other choice. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon, who had just become king, and it's a good attitude to have, said, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. But I am but a little child. I know not how to go in or go out or come in. And so he asked for wisdom. Amen? Wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get wisdom. That's so we can make the right choices. That's so we can understand God's word and God's wisdom and then make the right choice. We have in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David had numbered the people. The judgment of God was going to come. There's a prophet by the name of Gad, and he came to David, and he said, God's going to punish you, and these are the three ways he can do that. And David said, I'm not going to choose. It's up to the Lord. Amen? And that's the best thing to do, to leave the choices to God. Even when we've done something wrong, just let the choice to God. This is going to be a very positive message, but it's probably not going to get real positive till the end of the message. Amen? Amen? So kind of hang on. Smile. It's going to be good. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Max Lucado wrote, if you knew that only a few would care that you came, would you still come? If you knew that those you loved would laugh in your face, would you still care? If you knew that the tongues you made would mock you, the mouths you made would spit upon you, the hands you made would crucify you, would you still make them? Christ did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A lot of people's choices are on revenge or getting even or and worse. And when we think like that, we make the wrong choices. We don't honor our Lord. Amen? Chuck Swindoll wrote, the remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. And it's not, I just can't do it, I just can't be nice, but be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we have the truth, we have the wisdom, we have the scripture, and then God says that's the choice you need to make. But if we're not processing right, if our heart isn't right, we'll make a different choice. Does this make sense? Makes sense? Walter Chantry wrote, when a sinner refuses to come to Christ, he is guilty because he has made a free choice. It reflects his own state of mind, feeling, and attitude toward God and his Son. He has acted voluntarily without coercion. It is his decision. So people choose not to receive Jesus as their Savior, and people choose to receive Jesus as their Savior. We have a free will. In the book of Amos, last week we talked about Elijah, and how in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, he had a really good day. Amen. He called down fire from heaven. The nation turned back to God. The prophets of Baal were destroyed. But then you come to chapter 19, he had a bad day. Jezebel's after him. He's fearing for his life. He's running. He's hiding. He's in a cage. He wants the Lord to take his life. That's a bad day. And so we have good days and we have bad days. Here in Amos chapter 8, we have a bad day. In Amos chapter 9, we have a good day. This is for the nation of Israel, but the principle is the same. We ought to be able to follow the Lord and make right choices in bad days as well as the good days. Amen? When everything's going fine, it's sometimes easy to praise God and, yeah, I have a good attitude today. But when things are difficult and the devil's fighting us and the flesh is fighting us and who else is fighting us, then we get this angst, this, we want to fight, you know. And when that spirit gets in us, it can lead us to make the wrong choices or even say the wrong things. Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come. Okay, this is a prophecy. It's about Israel. And behold, the days come. We see and read that phrase. We're going to see it again. It says, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even unto the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. There's going to be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. That's a bad thing. But he says the days come. Look at chapter 9. And we will look at verse 13. chapter 9. Behold, the days come. Same verses, or same beginning to a verse. Saith the Lord, that the plowman, and again, this is about a restoration for Israel. This is about the judgment is over. Now it's going to be a blessing. It says, that the saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth a seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. To get the idea of this, people are reaping, but they're right behind them, they're plowing because they want to plant more. The harvest is so great, they can't get it all in before it's time to plant again. It's just such a blessing. That's what it's talking about. It says, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. It's a blessing. Boy, it's a blessing when that day comes. Amen. And let's pray and ask God to bless us today. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Prepare our hearts now, Lord, to receive this good seed. May it produce fruit in our life. May we always make choices that please you. God bless your word now. Minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Man has a free will, and sometimes he goes down, but he has the opportunity, if he knows God, to come back up. A just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. I remember when we had our preacher's meeting in Sturgis and many years, the Pacific Garden Mission Choir, men's choir, would come and sing for us. 30 men that were down and out in Chicago and other places around the country and went to the Pacific Garden Mission. You've probably listened to some of those things on the radio, but a real help to a lot of people. A lot of people got saved through that ministry. But they would come, and one of the songs they would always sing is Victory in Jesus. And you'd see their smiles and their joy was, I mean, just spread throughout the whole congregation. And they were just so excited to sing Victory in Jesus because they knew defeat. And when we know that and when we're humbled enough to admit who we are, it's a wonderful thing that the grace of God is there for us. Amen? And God ministers to us. But we have a choice. We have a free will. We choose whether or not to get saved, whether or not to be right with God or stay right with God. We choose whether or not to go in a different direction. In our text, the scripture speaking about a time of judgment of the nation of Israel and also a time of restoration and blessing for the nation. And it's famine and it's feasting, and we have choices. We have choices. Israel had a choice. That did not have to happen to them before the blessing came. In Deuteronomy 11:26, God says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. That's pretty black and white. Amen? What do you want? You want a blessing? Do you want a curse? There's no gray area there. Do you want a blessing or a curse? And we come to church, what do you want? A blessing? Amen? Well, then let Gino preach. Amen? But, you know, you think about, well, I think I would be blessed if the sermon was 30 minutes. You are not going to be blessed today. Amen? And again, it's good to have a visitor. He has no idea I preach 4 hours. Amen? And the doors are locked. So I don't know what's going to happen. Amen? But behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Behold, the days come. Twice in the book of Amos. Behold, the days come. Here it's, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you will obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. And that's exactly what Israel did. They went after other gods. That's why the 70-year captivity came upon them, because they went into idolatry. When they were brought out of that, they never fooled with idolatry again as a nation. So these things are important. Physically, the curse it's talking about in Deuteronomy 11 is a famine, a pestilence, and a sword. But the blessing was bounty and fruitfulness. And we can choose that. We can choose. Behold, this day. You have Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. He takes it away because of their sin. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. See, it's dependent on what we do. If we reject, then we see those results. Israel had the choice of God's blessings or God's chastenings. Psalm 106, verse 15, the Bible says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Boy, that's a powerful verse. They wanted meat for their lust rather than manna for their faith, for their spirituality. There's somebody that said one time they got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. And again, the verse says, and he gave them their request. This is what they asked for. And God says, is that what you want? And they said, yes. And so he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. The result of Israel's choices, it was felt in a definite physical way. The result of our choices is felt in a definite spiritual way, because that's how God deals with us. We can choose leanness of soul. Spurgeon wrote this. He said that God gives a man his desire is no proof that he is the object of divine favor. Everything depends upon what that desire is. There is nothing wrong with quail. You ever eat quail? I've eaten quail. Quail is good. That's good meat. But have you ever eaten quail until it came out your nostrils? No. Because that's what it says in the Bible. They ate that quail. See, they didn't want the manna. They weren't happy with the manna. They weren't content with the manna. So they give us quail, give us quail. God knew how to take care of them. Amen? But he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. There's nothing wrong with meat. There's nothing wrong with quail. But there is if it's not what God is supplying. Amen? Does that make sense? Thomas Adams wrote, the throat's pleasure shut up paradise, sold the birthright, beheaded the Baptist, etc., 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 just for pleasure. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you see sheep, one preacher was talking about, when you see sheep and they're lean, but they're in a wonderful pasture, you have to wonder about the sheep. Amen? You have to wonder if they're not sickly or they're not diseased, to be in a wonderful pasture, to be taken care of, to have all this at their disposal, and yet to be lean. We live in America. We have Bibles. We are blessed beyond belief. Amen? I don't know how many Bibles I have. I give Bibles away. Amen? And you probably do too. But we know the Bible. We can listen to the Bible, read the Bible anytime we want. That's how God feeds us. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. But in our text, there was a famine of hearing. A famine of hearing. Why? Because there was a choice made. And so they had ears, but they could not hear. In Revelation, talking about the seven churches, all those instructions and history of the seven churches ends like this, that God would give us to hear what the Spirit hath to say. Hear what the Spirit hath to say. Today, this Bible, I use a lot of Bible in my message, and then I quote a lot of people, because again, I don't have time to study, so I just throw all this in there. Amen? You're still there. Amen? You're still there. But you use Bible because, man, that's the answer. And you go home today. You make a choice in this service and be blessed when you leave this place. On the other hand, that's a famine of hearing. But on the other hand, when we get to chapter 9, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. That's what I want. Amen? I don't want to choose the curse. I want to choose the blessing. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 5, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. That's the same thing that it said in Amos. The people are harvesting and they're planting and they're running into each other. For 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Amen. Somebody gets sick, we want them to be in health. We want them to prosper. Amen. But the rest of the verse says, even as thy soul prospereth. That's where we want to prosper. That's where we want the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The love and the joy and the peace. In darkness, there is no choice because we can't see. It's the light that enables the choice that we can make. The word, thy word is light. Christ is the light. Amen. But the darkness is always a picture of something bad, something evil. What if it's up to us today to choose the right thing to be blessed in our life, or to choose the wrong thing and not be blessed in our life? What would a person want to choose? Sometimes the choice comes down to this. We choose something physical because we would rather have that than something spiritual, because the circumstances will change, or because our finances will change, or whatever. Remember, they wanted meat for their lusts rather than manna for their souls. So God gave them their request. But he sent leanness. Well, look what God did for me. Boy, look at how I'm blessed. The blessing needs to be here. Amen? Needs to be in our hearts with that fruit of the Spirit. That is so precious that God does that for us. In Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I want to read some verses in John chapter 3. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's why the darkness is loved. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Man, we like the light. Turn the lights on. Amen? You don't like to stumble around in the dark. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. They don't even know. They've made a choice. And here's this in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit. And they don't even know. Praise God for the light. Joshua, in chapter 24 and verse 15, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. That was Israel's sin, right? So he's saying, but as for me and my house, this is the end of the verse, we will choose the Lord. You choose what you want, but me and my house, we will choose the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 18, remember Elijah came and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And the people answered him not a word. They did not make a choice. And by not making a choice is making a choice. We put one foot, Oswald Chambers said this. He said, we put one foot on God's side and another foot on the world's side. And then God expands that a little, so we have to make a decision. And we just, I'm not going to go very far with this, amen? I'm not going to do it. And you go this way. And pretty soon, the choices that you make spread you out. And you have to choose one way or the other, or you fall. And a lot of times, I mean, the choice for God is always there. Isn't that amazing? You can go into a far country and waste everything, waste your whole life. And God will always be waiting for you to come back. Always. Isn't that amazing? The lights will always be on. He will always be there. Man. And you might be walking in the light today. Who knows next week? Who knows next month? Who knows next year? This message may come back to you, and it'll get very positive in a little bit. But God is always, always there. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either love one or hate the other. Serve one or not serve the other. Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot, they had strife. Their herdmen had strife because the blessing was so great. And Abraham said, Lot, Look wherever you want to go. You choose whatever you want to choose. And Lot looked toward the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, man, that's where I'm going. That's the best business deal. That's where I'm going. But there were wicked people there. And you know what happened to Lot and his family. But he chose. The Bible says in verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. That was a bad choice. A good choice maybe financially. You have Hebrews 11:25. This is about Moses. Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's house. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the treasures of Egypt. Amen. For he had the just recompense of the reward. He said, no, I'm going to choose the spiritual. I don't get my reward now, but I'm going to get it one day. Amen. So that's why he chose that. Why would he choose that? You know, you give that choice to somebody out on the street and they'd say, well, I'd rather have a good business deal than suffering. But sometimes suffering is involved in the will of God. Amen. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf, Peter tells us. What a contrast in choices and blessing. Choice, the definition, is the act of choosing, the voluntary act of selecting. Follow this. This is the message. Where there is force, there can be no choice. If somebody makes you or manipulates you or pushes you to do something that you don't want to do, that is not a choice. That's not your choice. That's somebody else's choice. When you take a man's choice away, you have no true indicator of the man. Eleanor Roosevelt said, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words, it is expressed in the choices one makes. The choices we make ultimately are our responsibility. Boy, the home I was raised in, and I've said it before, I could blame so much on the home I was raised in. The list would be long. I would have an excuse for every evil, bad thing that I could do if I went back to the home and blamed it on the home I was raised in. But God delivered me. God found me. I found God. I don't even know how to explain it, but God saved my wife, and she wasn't my wife yet, and because of her, I got saved. Anyway, back to the message, amen? See, being a preacher, you can talk about anything you want to talk. You can just stop in the middle and go in a different direction, amen? William James, if you don't make a choice, any choice, you've already made a choice. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. These are wonderful, wonderful verses. Verse 9 and 10 of Galatians 6. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Boy, that's a good choice, isn't it? That's a great choice, because we will reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. Wow, this is it. Okay, I've ruined my life. I've destroyed my life. I've made wrong decisions. Look at all that's going on in my life. If you would plant potatoes, I guarantee you when harvest time comes, you're going to get potatoes. You're not going to get oranges. You're going to get potatoes. Amen? No, I read in a book you could get oranges by planting a certain potato. I bought all kinds of this stuff on Amazon. You know, what you plant, you reap. Sometimes you don't reap it right away. And so people, I'm just going to keep planting. But when that crop comes in, what's the old preacher say? When the chickens come home to roost, sooner or later you got to reap that crop. But here's the good news. If you start planting good seed, sooner or later that old crop is going to be harvested. Now, there's some things you do that you live with the rest of your life, but I'm talking about in here. Amen. I'm talking about the spiritual blessing. not just the physical. You keep planting. You have patience. Because in due season you will reap if you faint not. That is God's promise. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, the hard ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It is time. If you sow mercy, you'll reap mercy. You sow kindness, you reap kindness. If you sow that love, God will fill your heart. The Spirit of God, the love of God is, what's that verse, Richard? Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen? I mean, just sow it. Just sow it, and God will bless you. No man needs to stay the way he is, no matter what way he is. We can always turn back and serve the Lord. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you go back to the Old Testament, Israel, the Jews, they're an earthly people. There's a lot of earthly blessings in their land, etc., etc. When you come to the New Testament and you talk about the church, remember there's the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. A saved Jew and a saved Gentile make up the church. So you have the church, and this is where we have spiritual blessings. You have Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit, this isn't an earthly fruit, this is a heavenly fruit. And this is what God does when we make the right choice, amen? We choose to honor him and bless him. Spiritual blessings are opposed, or as opposed to temporal blessings. Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's good to be saved, amen? It's good to be saved. The choice to be fruitful. I read somebody recently and they said, here's two choices. God's will over your will and the next life over this life. Man, isn't that easy? God's will over your will and the next life over this life. We can choose to be fruitful. Read one verse and then we'll be done. You can choose to be fruitful. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that's all inward, that's all us. But I want my life to affect somebody else's life. I want my life to lead somebody else to Christ. Amen? I want to see that happen. And so we have Psalm 126. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Turn our captivity, then we shall sing. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want to be fruitful in my life for the Lord. I want the fruit of the Spirit, so I worship him the way I need to worship him. Amen. Live for him the way I need to live for him. And I want my life to matter where somebody else can be saved. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve Baal. But choose. Because the choice you make will bring the blessing or not. Let's bow our heads, please. God is good. It's a blessing. We have free choice today. Everybody here has a free choice. This life or the next, his will or mine. All God wants to do is bless you. All he wants to do is bless you. Father, thank you for your word. I don't know why, Lord. I don't know why that I don't always choose the right thing. I pray you'd enlighten me. I pray you'd open my eyes that I might be able to see wondrous things out of thy law. I pray that I would always see clearly. I pray that I wouldn't call evil good and good evil. Lord, give me wisdom, please. Wisdom to live my life to honor you, to minister to a flock. Please give me wisdom. May I see it and obey it. And I pray for every soul here today. If someone here is not saved, I pray they would trust Jesus today as their Savior. I pray that they would admit that they're a sinner in need of a Savior and ask Jesus to forgive all their sins. And you promised if they would do that, they would be saved. I pray that would be so today. I pray that our hearts would be tender and would be given to you, Lord. Ah, the things of this world, may they grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Bless now in this time, in Jesus' name, amen.